Let's welcome his last session this year. All right, from Lighthouse Houston, Pastor Keon Henderson.
Come on, let's give God some glory in this place. Come on, you can do better than that if he's been good to you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So I have to leave today. And I don't want to. I don't want to leave. This is absolutely the best WAFBEC I've ever attended. Yeah. Everybody say another level. This thing has taken on another life, and I'm so enthusiastic about your energy and the prospects of what you're getting ready to do and what God is doing through your life. We honor your life, the both of you. We appreciate you for your hospitality. First Lady, thank you so much for inviting us. Let's give First Lady a hand. Some people come into your life and they never come. Some people come into your life and they never leave. And I'm assured that you are friends of ours for life. And we appreciate you and Pastor Poju, Professor Poju. He came upstairs with the robe on. I can't call him pastor anymore. He is a professor. He is a brilliant mind. Can I say this before I begin to speak? You could become common with him because you get to see him often. But remember, the Bible says that you must be careful who you entertain, because you could be entertaining angels unawares. I want you to know that just because you see him every day, don't forget he's the angel of the house. Never become common with that kind of anointing, because as long as God is blessing him, it means that he has something in store for you. One of the greatest decisions you could ever make in your life is who you decide to follow. Your life is in his mouth. And that's why you need to make sure that you cover him in prayer. He and his wife and his family in prayer. Because the enemy, listen, if the enemy can stop him up, he can keep the blessing from getting to you, because he is the well. God provides the water, and we want to make sure that he stays open so he continue to flow. So let's praise God for him one more time. Professor, Pastor, we thank you and we honor you, sir. So this is my last session. I want you to go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. The book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 16. This is a very familiar passage of scripture, but I think it'll help us as we finish out this afternoon. Acts, chapter 16, verse 16. The Bible says, "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, a certain slave girl who was possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling." Next verse says, in verse 17, it says, "This girl followed Paul and us, and she cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.'" Verse 18. "And this she did for," everybody say, "many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her.' And he came out of her," not later on, "but at that very hour." Verse 19. "But when her masters saw that her hope of profit was gone. In other words, when she didn't make them any more money, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Next verse. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city." Verse 21. "And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Next verse. "Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. They had beaten them severely. They threw them into prison and commanded the jailer to guard them securely." Verse 24, "Receiving such orders, he threw them into not just a cell, but the inner cell, fastened their feet to stocks." All of that happened so that we could get to verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I want you to write this down, because this message is not a sermon, it's a command. I've preached 3 sermons this week. I've played my role. I've done my assignment. But this afternoon, the Lord has given me a different anointing. This is not a sermon. This is a command. And this is what you're going to write down. The next time you find yourself in trouble, I want you to shout until it shakes. Shout until it shakes. All week, we have been having extremely significant and impactful times of ministry together. And yesterday, Pastor John Hanna said something to you that, if you've been here over the last 3 years with me, you've heard me say the same thing, that this country has a sound that no other country has. You've heard me talk about how I'll go back to America and begin to fuss at them about how they can drive up to the church in $100,000 automobiles, how they can wear $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 worth of clothes, how they can leave $1 million homes and come in the sanctuary and never say a word. And yet, as I pulled up into this beautiful edifice, I saw people walking in off the street. I looked as we were driving down the street, and I saw 10, 20 people stuffed in a cab or a van, and right on the back of it, it says, "Jesus saves." You must have been in that van before. Because for some in America, they associate God only with prosperity. But here, oh, not here. It's not about things with you. All you want is God. There is a hunger and a thirst after God in this place, particularly in this place, that isn't common, which is what led me to the discussion that you and I are about to have over the next several moments. The Bible says that Paul and Silas went up, everybody repeat after me, to pray. They went up to pray, and when they got there, they ran into a girl who was possessed, listen, with a particular type of spirit. She didn't just have a spirit. The Bible says that she had the spirit of divination. The reason why it is important for us to identify which kind of spirit she had is because in the area of the Greeks, and in Greek mythology, divination comes from the word of a dragon named Pytho, which is where we get our word of the snake Python, which means this girl had the spirit of a snake. This girl had the spirit of a python, not a rattlesnake, but a python. Not a garden snake, but a python. And it's important that we understand which kind of snake, because even though pythons have teeth, when they bite, there is no venom. So you don't die from a python's bite. They are constrictors. And so their defense, or offense, I should say, the way they kill their prey is they slowly wrap themselves around that which they want to consume and squeeze until the thing in its grip has no more life. It's important to know what kind of spirit she has, because now that we know what kind of spirit she has, we know what she's about to try to do to Paul and Silas. And I have come to tell you that because this conference has the potential to free thousands and thousands of people, in the spirit, I saw the spirit of a python on this church. I saw the spirit of a python trying to squeeze the life out of you. And the more God puts in you, the more life takes out of you. The more the pastor pours into you, the more you have to leave the sanctuary and go back to your reality. And in the sanctuary, you're happy for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. But when you get back home, you have to go to a constricting environment. And I'm going to show you today how to deal with the snakes in your life. I'm going to show you how to deal with the snakes in your life. I'm going to show you how to deal with the spirit of constriction and restriction. So the Bible says that she followed Paul and Silas, and she was taunting them, and she was shouting at them. And this is what she said. She didn't say, "These men are thieves." She didn't say, "These men are child abusers." She didn't say that these men are rapists. She said, "Convict them, because these men are showing people the way of salvation." She wanted them to go to jail because they were getting other people free. And so they sentenced Paul and Silas and put them in prison, not for theft, follow me, not for child abuse, not for corruption, not for domestic violence, but for doing what God said. Did you not know that there is a punishment for being obedient? That sometimes you'll look at your life and say, "Why am I going through this? God, what did I do wrong? Who did I do wrong? Where did I make the wrong turn?" God sent me to tell you that not all of your trouble is because you did the wrong thing. Some of your trouble is because you're doing the right thing. Some of the trouble in your life is a result of your prayer life. Some of the trouble in your life is because you will not hold a grudge. Some of the trouble in your life is because you are a prayer warrior. And if you don't believe me, the Bible says that when Jesus went into the wilderness and went up to the mountain to pray for 40 days, the Bible says immediately he was tempted by the devil. Sometimes prayer makes hell nervous. And that's the reason why this continent is under attack. It is not because you are black. It is because you know how to pray. It is not because of the melanin in your skin. The devil doesn't care what skin color you are. The devil doesn't care what kind of texture your hair is. The devil cares that if you are the kind of person that prays in prison, he will try to constrict you, because hell knows that when people pray, things get free. The devil knows that when you pray, you arrest the attention of angels. How many prayer warriors are in this place today? Have you ever noticed every time it's time to pray, you get sleepy? Raise your hand if I'm talking to you. Have you ever noticed that you always have distractions when it's time to pray? Notice you never get distracted when you're at the football game. Notice the devil never attacks you when you're at a party. Notice the devil never attacks you at the grocery store. Notice most of your attacks come when you are in the worship of God, because the devil knows that if you get down on your knees, hell has to get off of your back. He knows that if you get down on your knees, curses will be broke over your family. He knows that if you get down on your knees, that sickness has to come out of your body. So he'd rather keep you smiling and shouting and singing, but he gets nervous. Why? Because the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And the more you pray, the more demons get nervous, and the more the walls begin to tremble. But I need 1,000 people in here that will still bless the Lord at all times and let his praise continuously be in your mouth. I need every prayer warrior to shout, I'm a prayer warrior. Say it again. I know how to pray. And that's your problem, because you pray. Whenever you pray, the devil will pray. Whenever you pray, you become his prey. Whenever you pray, the devil preys on you. This explains why during prayer time there are so many distractions. It explains it. Have you ever noticed you get ready to study and pray, then all of a sudden somebody text messages you? And here you are trying to pray and answer a text. Here you are trying to pray and still watching Netflix. Here you are trying to pray, and all of a sudden, here comes your child talking about, Mommy, I'm hungry. Have you ever noticed? Here you are trying to pray, and then your husband, he needs something. Here you are trying to pray, and now your wife needs something. Why? Because the devil always distracts during prayer time. And that's why I'm trying to raise you up as prayer warriors in here today, because Satan doesn't care when you are at the soccer match. He doesn't care when you are at the stadium. He doesn't care when you are at Tesla by Lagoon Stadium. He doesn't care about any of that. All he cares is that when you come to Covenant Church and you sit in the sanctuary, all of a sudden your back starts hurting, and all of a sudden your feet start hurting, and all of a sudden you awoke and you were laughing all the way to church. The moment you sat down in that seat, all of a sudden you got sleepy. Why? Because the devil always wants you to sleep through deliverance. Have you ever noticed you have so much energy? Some of the best sleep you can get is in church. Have you ever noticed that? You come in church, that seat, if that was your bed at home, you couldn't go to sleep. But here you can come to church and go to sleep right in it. Why? I said this before. Fatigue is always attached to deliverance. I want you to follow your life. Every time you're almost out, you get tired. Every time you almost get over your temper, you get tired of giving people the benefit of the doubt. Every time you almost get over your anger, you get tired of letting people off of the hook. Deliverance and fatigue are always attached. And now there are thousands of people in this room and thousands of people who are on the line watching. And God told me to tell you that something is about to happen in your life, and you can get it right from the bowels of this story, because they attack Paul and Silas. As the moment they begin to pray, they begin to get attacked. But on the other hand, watch this, the devil attacks us as soon as we get to praying. But why does it take us so long to attack him back? How long is it going to take you to get angry that the devil keeps coming in your house and bothering your children? How long are we going to wait to attack the devil back? And now let me give you an example. The Bible says that when David and his comrades of Israel before David was king, the Bible said that they told them to destroy all of the men of Gath. But the Bible goes on to tell us that they did not destroy all of the men of Gath. They saved some of the men of Gath so that they could be slaves. Are you with me so far? Watch this revelation. Goliath was a man of Gath. If Israel had listened to God and killed the men of Gath when he told them, then they would have, by the time he got to Goliath, he would have been fighting an embryo and not a giant. But because he did not, they did not kill the men of Gath when they were supposed to, little bitty kids grew into big giants. Every time you fight a giant in your life, it's because you didn't kill it when God said kill it. Every time you fight something big in your life, it's because you did not listen to God when he said deal with it. But I've come to get some of you all today to shout while the problem is small. I need you to shout while the situation is minuscule. I need you to get a worship in your mouth before it becomes a giant. Because if you wait, your problem is going to be 9 feet. But if you shout right now, you can deal with it at 9 inches. I need somebody in here to get a worship in your mouth and begin to shout, because when you shout, it begins to shake. I cannot hear you, Covenant Church. This is not about some small devil. The enemy is coming in like a flood, but I need 1,000 of you all to raise up a standard and let the devil know that if you're going to get me, you got to come through my worship. If you're going to get me, you got to come through my praise. If you're going to get me, you got to come through my shout. Now shout until it shakes. Reason why you got to shout, you've been in church all week long. You've been in church all week long. Now, I don't care if you're from Nigeria or not. That's a lot of church. I don't care who you are. I start looking at this. I'm looking at the protocol guys and the gals, and they're with me, and I know they're trained. But I also knew they're human. And every once in a while, I see that mask do this. That mean they yawning under there. Today, we went and got a COVID test. I'm watching all of this stuff. I'm like, oh my God, they're doing things that we cannot do. I promise you, we got to the COVID test. The man was driving us. My fiance and I were in the car, and this is what he did. We were still for 3 minutes. He said, fell asleep in the car. And then I said to myself, they're human. I didn't know you were human. I thought you were superhuman. I said, how do people praise God that long? But you know what? What I understand is that there is a specific way that you deal with the spirit of constriction. I looked it up. I said, how do you defeat a python? I looked it up. One of the men who are famous for handling snakes, he says, listen to this, Papa. He says, whenever the spirit of constriction gets on you, whenever a python spirit gets on you, he says, be still long enough until the snake recognizes that you are too big for him to eat. Oh, I got to say that again. Because I thought that you were supposed to squirm. I thought you were supposed to fight. I thought that you were supposed to. He said, no, just stand still long enough, and the snake will eventually recognize that you are too big for him to eat. And when he recognizes that you are too big to eat, he will begin to relax. And that's when you break his jaw. I don't know who I'm talking to, but some of y'all have been sitting in that seat for 5 days, and the spirit of constriction has gotten on you, and you haven't been able to worship the way you wanted to worship, and you haven't been able to shout the way you wanted to shout. But I came to tell you, the devil has recognized by this almost the last day of the conference that you are too anointed for him to eat. You are too big for him to eat. And now that he has relaxed this afternoon, I dare somebody to aim your worship at the devil's mouth and break his jaw. I need about 1,000 people to start clapping your hands like the devil's head
is in between your hands and clap until the head and the jaw of the devil is broken. I cannot hear you. I said shout until it shakes. Shout until they hear you in Abuja. Shout until they hear you in Ghana. Shout until they hear you in Johannesburg. Come on, Lagos. Give your God. The devil has tried to constrict you. Praise is a weapon, and it confuses the enemy. The devil does not expect you to shout in your stuff. He expects you to relax and to give in. But you don't look like the kind of people that give up easily. How many fighters do I have in here today? How many fighters? I dare you to take your worship and aim it at the devil. And hit him right in the head. Do you know there is one commentator that says, like Pastor John said, that there's no way that David could have been running and been able to aim at the head of Goliath. So watch this. Once he lets the rock go, God grabs it and guides it, and it hits him in the head. See, look at how God is always involved in our deliverance. Look at Moses. The Bible says Moses got to the sea and he put out a staff and the sea began to part. On one occasion, the Bible says Moses has a staff and it becomes a snake in his hand. You remember that? And what did he do when it became a snake? Threw it down on the ground. But watch this. I want you to look at this. Imagine this microphone is a snake. He takes the snake that was a rod in his hand, throws it on the ground. But the Bible says he picks the snake up by the tail. Now, I'm not a genius, but I do know that you do not pick up a snake. Oh, y'all know the same thing I know, huh? You do not pick a snake up by the tail. If you're going to grab a snake, you're supposed to grab. Why would God say, grab the snake by the tail? What he's telling us, in this next season, you're going to have to deal with your enemy from the end they're not expecting you to come from. And when you are in prison, the devil doesn't expect you to worship. When you are in prison, he expects you to complain, not to worship. Cry, not to worship. And for everybody in this house and watching online, I want you to let the devil know, in 2022, I'm about to deal with you in a different way. Last year, I would have complained, but this year, I'm going to shout. And matter of fact, I'm not going to do it by myself, because the Bible says that while they were in prison, it wasn't just Paul, it was Paul and Silas. It was Paul and Silas. Now, if it was just Paul, I would understand, because Paul was a learned man, an educated man, a tent maker. He was educated. I would understand it. But now he goes in, takes the place of Barnabas, and now he is in prison with Paul. And the Bible says, I can imagine Paul says, we getting ready to go to jail, man. We getting ready to go to prison, because this girl, look at the magistrates coming. And the Bible says they locked Paul and Silas up, put them in the prison, put their feet in stocks and locked them up. Where? Say it again. Where? In the inner prison. This is going to be good. I promise you. Locked them up in the inner prison. Locked them up in the inner prison, not the outer prison, the inner prison. The prison has become a weapon of the enemy. Isaiah 54 says this around verse 17, no weapon. How many of you read that before? No weapon what? Formed against you shall be able to prosper. People quote that scripture all the time. I like verse 17, but my favorite verse is verse 16. I love 17. I don't even read verse 17. I read verse 16 because verse 16 is the revelation for me. Verse 16 says, behold, while you are talking about the weapon, I created the blacksmith who blows the coal in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. In other words, he says, I created the man that's trying to create the weapon. And since I created the man who's trying to create the weapon, I'm going to make sure that when he's blowing on the flame doesn't get hot enough to form the weapon. So the reason why no weapon formed against you shall prosper is he will always make sure that the weapon maker doesn't prosper. I call a curse on every weapon against your life. Everything that has ever come up against your family, I curse it in the name of Jesus. Everything that has come up against your children, I curse it in the name of Jesus. And guess what? While I'm cursing, you should be shouting. Don't miss this. I said shout until it shakes. I want you to shout until the devil releases his grip. I want you to shout until money comes to your hand. I want you to shout until sickness leaves your body. I want you to shout until ideas come into your head. I need you to shout until it shakes. Shake your section. Shake this room. Shake your family. Shake your future. I want you to shout so loud that next year gets scared of your present shout. Shout until 2023 recognizes it's dealing with the worshiper. I can't hear you, Wolfbeck. I said shout. Shout until the walls fall down. Shout until the job you want comes and finds you. Shout until you are a millionaire. Shout until every single woman is married. Shout. Shout until it shakes. You need too much from God to be sitting there looking at me. I don't care how many times you've been in church this week. What if I told you today? What if I told you that your next breakthrough is associated with your next praise? Yeah, some of y'all got it, but everybody done got it. I need everybody to stand and look at somebody that's sitting down and say, no, don't get up now. Don't get up now. Because when I open up my mouth and begin to praise, when the praises go up, blessings come down. So if you don't want your blessing, keep your mouth shut. I'll take it. If you don't want your miracle, go and sit down. I'll take it. If you don't want glory, sit down. I'll take it. I got something I want from God. I got something I need from God. I got to get exploits. I got to get miracles. I got to get a blessing. Devil, we didn't come here to play with you. We came to put you on notice that we're going to shout every time you try to get us. We came to put you on notice that we're going to shout until the walls fall down. Hallelujah. Watch this. Don't stop shouting yet. Hold on. Watch this. I'm about to give you something else to shout about. The Bible says that Paul looked at the woman. Ma'am, he said, demons come out of her. And the Bible says, listen, it happened. Who read? You read that Bible too? It happened. What if I told you that when I was at the hotel, God told me to tell you that whatever you've been praying for is coming in the next hour. Somebody look at your watch. Because in the next hour, it ain't gonna be like it was. In the next hour, God's gonna shake it loose. In the next hour. Somebody say, I'm gonna be rich in an hour. I'm gonna own a business in an hour. I'm gonna have children in an hour. My wife is coming in an hour. By 4 o'clock, you're gonna have a breakthrough to shout about. Oh, Holy Ghost. By the time the next session starts, you're going to be shouting in overflow. By the time the next session starts, you're going to already have a miracle. Shout until it shakes. Hey, I feel glory in this place. I dare somebody just shake until the snake lets you loose. I've been bound up too long. I've been wrapped up too long. I've been struggling too long. I've been depressed too long. I've been frustrated too long. Devil, I'm about to aim this next shout at your jaw. I'm about to break the mouth of the enemy. You're about to get the blessing in the next hour. I'm just looking for somebody. I'm looking for somebody who's desperate enough. What if God said, in the next hour, I'm giving it to the one who made heaven shake the most? I'm looking for somebody. Let me find somebody. Let me find somebody. I can't find nobody. Everybody's looking the same. Everybody, I see somebody over there. I see somebody over there. I see somebody in the back that's tired of being sick and sick of being tired. This is my year of Jubilee. By the way, Kroba, who is that? I hear somebody. Somebody's trying to get heaven's attention. I'm just looking for somebody to bless. Young man, listen. Do me a favor, protocol. You see that young man right there? His hand is raised right there. He's got a brownish shirt on. Come here. I see you. You. Come here. Come here. Bring me my bag. I'm going to show you what happens when your shout stands out. I'm going to show you. What happens? I'm going to show you what happens when your shout looks different. I'm going to show you when you shout, you get God's attention, and He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you. That's why I'm telling you to shout, because heaven is looking for somebody to bless. That's why I'm telling you to shout, because heaven is looking for somebody to bless. I just gave him money, but God said, I'm going to give you miracles. I'm going to give you signs. I'm going to give you wonders. Shout until it shakes. Listen. 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 I feel glory. Oh, somebody ought to say, I feel glory. Now, let me help you understand something. Paul, listen, Paul, musicians, I know we always look at the crowd, but I'm going to bless you. Paul is in prison, but he is not by himself. He did not do it alone. This breakthrough did not come because of him only. He and Paul and Silas begin to pray. Now watch this. Anybody got a set of keys on them? Anybody got keys? I know we don't have them. Can I see your keys, sir? Listen, Paul and Silas did not get out of prison because they had keys. No. That's too easy. But they did get out because they were on the same key. They did not get out because of keys. They got out because Paul and Silas said, what key you in? I'm in E-flat. What key you in? I'm in C. All right, well, what key we going to see again? This is what I need you to do. I need you to grab your neighbor by the arm just like this and say, I'm looking for my Silas. I'm looking for my Silas. I'm looking for somebody. Because over the next 30 seconds, we got to shout together. And I promise you, if we do this thing together, the bars are going to fly open. Find your Silas and begin to shout until the bars open. Shout until the bars open. Shout until the bars open. Shout, 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 shout. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. I see the miracle. I see the future. You look much brighter. Come on, Silas. Come on, Paul. Come on, Paul. Come on, Silas. Come on, Silas. Come on, Paul. Stay connected to him. Say, when I move, you move. Just like that. If I jump, you jump. Just like that. I can't be shouting and you looking. I can't be jumping and you still. We got to get in the same key. Make sure your neighbor understands the assignment. Are you ready? On the count of three, I need every Paul and Silas on the same key. And I promise you, when you shout, it's going to begin to shake. One. Oh, some of y'all started already. Something's about to happen. Two. Are you ready? Shout. Shout. Shout! 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 Give you permission to misbehave. Shout! Shout! Why? 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 Why did I tell you? Why did I tell you to connect with Silas. It's important you get this. Because Deuteronomy 32 and 30 says, one can chase 1,000. But two can put 10,000 to flight. Which means if your name is Legion and 6,000 demons have been attached to your life, it would take you 6 shouts to get rid of legions. But if you connect with Silas, the both of y'all shouting at the same time can not only send the 6,000 to flight, but let the next 4,000 know they can't come. So the reason why I got you shouting with Silas is to alert the demons that are coming next week that my life is off limits because I shouted enough at Wathbeck to take care of you. Shout until next week knows. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, move by your spirit. Holy Ghost, shake this place like a rag. Holy Ghost, miracles and signs and wonders, enlarge our territory. Bless us indeed. Why am I telling you this? There you go. Listen. Guess what happened? They shouted, and then all of a sudden, the earth began to quake. And when they got on the same key, the prison bars flew open. But watch this. All of a sudden, the prison guard took out his sword and he was about to commit suicide, because in those days, whenever a prisoner got free, the prison guard had to suffer the same sentence as the prisoner. So he knew that if Paul and Silas escaped, he was going to be sentenced to double life. So as opposed to being killed, he decided to kill himself. And just as he pulled out the sword, here's another shout. Paul says, no! Don't harm yourself. Don't harm yourself. The man says, why? Why? If they find out that you got out, I'm dead anyway. Paul says, don't do it, because we ain't going nowhere. We're going to stay right here. We don't want you to let us out. We want the men who put us in here to let us out. So they stood right there, locked in a room with the door wide open. They stood there. Before he stabbed himself, Paul shouted, no! What if I told you that your shout just saves somebody's life? What if the person next to you was getting ready to cut themselves? What if the person next to you was getting ready to jump off a bridge, and I told you that your next shout was going to save their life? I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. But Abraham, God is talking to you. I don't know who you are. I don't know why that name came to my head. But God is talking. Sinai, he's talking to you. He's talking. He's talking. Abu Bakar, he's talking to you. He's talking. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. Umar, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Somebody's got a nephew or a brother named Umar. Who am I talking to? He's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. You just saved their life by shouting. You just saved their life by shouting. They were going to fall on the sword, but you just saved their life by shouting. First Lady. Paul. Oh, God. Oh, God. Muhammad, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Somebody's got a brother named Muhammad. Your shout just saved his life. Yeah, my masika. Yes, I come. Yeah, my masika. Your shout just saved somebody's life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bet you didn't know a shout could do all of that. Bet you didn't know a shout could do all of that. Look like some of y'all still got some family members locked up. I dare you to call out the name of somebody in your family and put a praise on it. On the count of three, call out your brother's name. Call out your sister's name. Call out your parents' name. And put a shout on it. Do me a favor. Take out your cell phone and text somebody that you've been praying for. And I want you to text them these words. My shout just saved your life. You can explain it to them later. But there's somebody in your family that you've been praying for. Tell them I'm about to shout until your life is changed. Text them. Tell them my last praise just extended your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the time we get done with this service, I want you to look at their reply to your text message. And I want you to praise God, because your shout just saved somebody's life. Do you not know? Listen. That the man who was guarding Paul and Silas after the earthquake had stopped, sir, the man takes Paul and Silas to another part of the prison, gets some water and a rag, and begins to cleanse their wounds. What are you going to do when the person who beat you washes you? God is going to make the person who abused you elevate you. I'm talking to a woman who's been raped. God is going to make the man that raped you bless you. And you can't be mad saying, don't touch me, don't touch me, you hurt me. You got to receive the blessing. The man took Paul to his house. Do you know what happened when the man got to his house? Listen, Paul gets to the man's house. You can read this when you get home. I'm telling you, it's the truth. After the man saw how they acted in prison, because, you know, Christians are supposed to act different than other people when we're in trouble. The man looked at his life and his witness and his praise. He said these words. He said, sir, what must I do to be saved? His shout literally saved him. Not from a sword, but from eternal damnation. It literally saved him. How you act in trouble is evangelism. How you behave in your prison is sharing the gospel. How you act when you're upset, that's a witness. Paul said, this snake can't kill me. I'm too big for it to eat. I'm too anointed to die from this squeeze. Paul says, I do have one request, though. I do want to get out of here. But Mr. Prison Guard, I don't want you to do it. You're just a messenger. I don't have a problem with you. Go get the magistrates. Go get the people who put me in here. And he goes and gets the magistrates. And the magistrates give Paul and Silas the permission to walk right out of the door. In 2022. I decree and declare and prophesy that the same people who put you in are going to have to get you out. Oh! And if you need more Bible than that, ask Joseph what happened. Joseph said, Keon, my brothers, they threw me in a pit all because of a coat and a dream. I was tempted to hate them, but I knew that how I acted in my pit would have ramifications. So I kept my heart pure. Because you do know that whenever a snake squeezes you, they do it with the intent of causing a cardiac arrest. They squeeze you until your heart stops. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to squeeze you until your heart gets bad. He wants to squeeze you until you start hating. He wants to squeeze you until you become angry and polluted with fear. He'll squeeze until you have a cardiac arrest. Joseph kept his heart pure. The brothers that threw him in the pit had no idea that one day he was going to get out of the pit and end up in the palace. And listen, and end up being over food distribution at the same time that there is a famine where his brothers live. Do you see God? There's a famine. His brothers are starving. The ones that threw him in a pit, they're starving. They're hungry. Now they got to go to the prime minister and ask for food. Well, guess who the prime minister is? The same person they threw in the pit. Tell your neighbor, you better be careful how you treat me. I just might be prime minister next year. I'm done. So they get there and they ask him for food. Jacob had shaved himself to fit in with the Egyptians, so they didn't know it was him. He said, "Hey guys, it's me. You remember me? This your little brother. Y'all ain't like me and I ain't like you. But I'm still here, baby. And I heard y'all was hungry. I'm gonna feed you. And the reason why I'm gonna feed you, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, because what you meant for evil, God turned it around for my good. My last word to you today is everything that the enemy designed for your destruction, God says, I'm about to use it for your development. If you believe it, if you receive it, as I release this microphone on this last watch and fly back to America, I want you to raise a praise in this place so loud that I hear it on the plane on my way home. Come on, shout. Shout until it shakes. Shout until it shakes. Shout until it shakes.